Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Heath Mulligan from the Double Dropkick Show on this beautiful Monday morning. My voice is a little hoarse because I took a great road trip to yesterday down to Hanahan, South Carolina for Old School Championship Wrestling. I'll get into that in just a second. Don't forget, you can check out the Double Dropkick Show at doubledropkick.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. Pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find the Double Dropkick Show. Great stuff happening. Sorry, it's laundry day here at the Mulligan household, so the dryer's going in the background. I actually tried to record this episode on the way home last night, and just had some technical difficulties. So this morning, just going to talk about this road trip and what brought it about. So there in the state of South Carolina, we have an athletic commission. So there are not that many wrestling promotions that run regularly in South Carolina. By my count, there are 8 of them. And yesterday, there was a show down in Hanahan, South Carolina, 3.5 hours away from me. Saw the card, knew I had the day, knew I could go, knew I could be back, you know, between midnight and 1 o'clock, and just decided to go. Tickets were not, tickets were $10. My son got in for $5. And to be honest, people may call this silly. This is one of the reasons they call us marks. But for me personally, let me take you back to the beginning of the year. Some of you know Mark and I were on the panel for the Carolinas Professional Wrestling Awards this year. Honored to be a part of that. We just completed final voting. And Redbeard is going to be announcing the finalists here soon, in the coming week or so. Here's the deal. When I agreed to do that, I know Mark watched CWF Mid-Atlantic, some other independent wrestling in the Carolinas. And to be honest, there's so much independent wrestling in North Carolina, it's hard to even cover it all. But I had made the commitment, at least in South Carolina, I was going to try to watch as much independent wrestling as I could, keep up with it. And OSCW was the only, what I would call, major promotion that I had not been to one of their shows this year. And so it was just a personal thing of I want to finish the bucket list. And that's why I went. I had been to Golden Corner Wrestling shows this year. I obviously had been to 3 Count Wrestling shows this year. I'd been to Battle Zone shows. I'd been to Palmetto Championship Wrestling earlier this year. Been to APW in Chester. I've been to CWA in Orangeburg. I think I just said Battle Zone, been to some of their shows. And so OSCW, Old School Championship Wrestling, was the one show that I had not only not been to this year, had never been to one of their shows. They've been running, if I'm not mistaken, 10 plus years. And so just decided to make the trip. And here's what I'll say. Now, I haven't been to a show at APW in Boiling Springs. And no offense to any of those guys. A lot of great guys work there. A lot of young guys get their starts there and are now branching out. But for me, just not part of my, you know, discussion or whatever. So here's what I'll say about independent wrestling in South Carolina. It's in good hands, man. I can honestly say every promotion that I have been to, I have been to indoor shows, I have been to outdoor shows, I've seen shows of, I've seen shows that had about 50 people to shows, you know, last night, 250 to 300 people. CWA was drawing really good crowds. And I can say you could go to any of the promotions in South Carolina and you would well get your money's worth. You would definitely be entertained. Quality product. And one thing about the Athletic Commission, you know, there are certain things in place. There was an incident just about a couple of weeks ago in North Carolina where a fan got into it with a manager because there were no barricades. South Carolina, there's barricades. There's a certain level of professionalism you're going to get in South Carolina simply because of the Athletic Commission. And having met all the people who run the promotions in South Carolina, they genuinely strive to put on the best show, best shows possible. And OSCW, well worth the trip. No regrets. I had a great time with my son. Actually met up with Justin Donahue, who is a patron of the Double Dropkick Show. Great to see him. So thankful for his support of the show from day one. He's been a listener. And it was great just sit with him and hear some of the history of OSCW, some of the things they've been doing as a promotion, and how they've grown. The first couple of shows Justin went to there, they were only using half of the gym. It was the Hanahan Recreation Center, so a pretty big gym. They were only using half of it, and now they've expanded, and they're using the whole gym. And I took, right after intermission, I counted just one side of the gym and stopped at 70. So there's no doubt in my mind, 250 to 300 people, easy. It was a great, great show. So I want to run down a card a little bit. And with a name like Old School Championship Wrestling, they lived up to that billing. It was, the booking was logical. They left me wanting more. They actually set up some matches for their next show. But everything was logical. Everything was easy to follow. Had never been to one of their shows, but I could tell who had issues. I could tell what was going on. And it was a fast moving show. It was a fast paced show. It was great. Kudos to everybody involved. So the opening match, when I got there, John Schuyler, Southern Savior, just, in my opinion, he's just the top guy in South Carolina. That's just my opinion. He is the top guy. When people talk about who's not signed in the Carolinas that needs to be signed, his name, if he's not the first name, he's the second name off on people's minds. John Schuyler's been doing a Bruiserweight Open Challenge for his OSCW Intercontinental title. And there was, as I got there, there was a buzz that Anthony Henry, PWX World Champion, was going to answer this challenge. Didn't happen, because in the opening match, Brandon Paradise, who my experience with him has been as a tag team, but he's a former OSCW Heavyweight Champion just until recently, it's Brandon Paradise versus Anthony Henry. Completely caught me off guard. I've never seen Brandon Paradise play a heel. He did a tremendous job, got a tremendous reaction. And when Anthony Henry came out, the crowd was very familiar with him. And as far as I know, that was his either his first appearance there or his first appearance in a long time. So I want to talk about Anthony Henry a little bit. This is a young man I've seen various places. I've seen him in Georgia. Saw him in the Scenic City Invitational. Obviously, I've seen him in North Carolina. PWX was on a show with him. My one show as a manager at a promotion in North Carolina was on a show with him. I was in the locker room with him. A young man whose star has been on the rise. And he's had a tremendous year. He's been PWX Heavyweight Champion most of the year. Got married this year. Was part of the Evolve Tag Team Champions with James Drake, the Lethal Enforcers. And Anthony Henry was one of those guys when Flow Slam invested a lot of their money in WWN, and WWN created Style Battle and a lot of these other promotions. Anthony Henry was one of the guys who really benefited from that. A lot of Carolina guys benefited from that. And so in these last couple of months, matter of fact, it was just announced Friday, I believe, Flow Slam no more. Flow Sports has done away with Flow Slam a year after it started. And Mark and I, when it came out, I subscribed and we did an episode on it. And there'll be a link to that in the show notes of my thoughts from a year ago. I would love to go back and hear what I thought about a year ago. And now it's gone. And but I was really surprised. There's nothing wrong with being first match on the card. They had a great match, great pace, great story, logical. It was logical booking. Wasn't a long match at all, 6-7 minutes. Good opening match. Got the crowd into it. And as Anthony Henry's leaving, crowd chants, please come back. Here's my only question, okay? Anthony Henry, the last couple years in the CPWAs, won Feud of the Year with John Skyler, I believe, in 2015. He may have, you know, was in the running for Rising Star of the Year, Wrestler of the Year last year. And we went to some of those PWX shows as he was part of the chase, as he was chasing the title, as the title was on John Skyler, and then it went to Jake Manning, and finally this year, earlier this year, Anthony Henry won PWX World Heavyweight title. And it just seems like this year, that there's not the same buzz about Anthony Henry. Nothing's really, and I can't really explain it. So my question is, and I'm just thinking out loud, is was he better in the chase that people were getting behind him? Is he one of those guys people really got behind him in the chase? And to be honest, as I've been following PWX, he had a good series of matches with Ethan Case. There was some controversy with the finish in one of those matches. But as I've been following PWX this year, there's been other matches, other feuds, other storylines that have overshadowed Anthony Henry as the World Heavyweight Champion. And again, the young man is still an amazing athlete, amazing professional, a good wrestler. So it's just been curious to me. It's something I've been kind of just thinking about the last couple months, because this year, you know, Anthony Henry went from being finalist in several categories last year to this year not a finalist in any of the categories. So it's just been something I've been thinking about. I would love other people's thoughts on that. But I think there are some guys that are better suited, and it may not be Anthony Henry, I'm just stating an opinion. There are some guys who are better in the chase than they are being champion. I think that was the case with Sting. Sting, people were really behind him in his chase when he was going after Ric Flair, and then once he won the title, you know, houses were kind of down or whatever, because people were more behind him in the chase. But that was a great opening match. So second match, John Skyler does his open challenge. Michael Stevens, who's one of the one half of the Beautiful Bald Besties, comes out. The Bald Besties, I'm not sure why they're not getting booked more in South Carolina. At least at the shows I've been at, these guys should be working, just my opinion, should be working every great gimmick, great talent. They did the deal where they both looked very similar. They were switching in and out. Great stuff. Just a great entertaining match. Third match was a women's match. Stormy Lee, who's the OSCW Women's Champion, Ladies Champion, took on Savannah Evans. Stormy Lee's husband, Francisco Siazzo, got involved. And not a bad match. Again, you know, women's wrestling, which has a long history in South Carolina because of the fabulous Moolah, who's from Columbia. Women's wrestling is starting to get a little bit of a foothold, but there's still a lot of promotions that aren't having women's wrestling. So there's just not a lot of places for these ladies to work. But it was a fine match. So the next match was an 8-man tag team match. The END, the Equal Nation Demonstration. Faction-wise, by far, best-known faction in South Carolina. Kevin Phoenix, Zuka King, TJ Boss, and Nick Kismet, with their new manager, Bob Keller. I'll speak more about him in a second. They took on Logan Creed and Drew Adler, who are the OSCW Tag Team Champions, and the Washington Bullets, again, Washington Bullets, a team Mark and I saw about 2 years ago at Anarchy, and said, why aren't these guys getting booked more in South Carolina? Absolutely tremendous. I've seen them several times, have never been disappointed. So let's talk about the E&D and Bob Keller. This is what I love. This is what I really, something that I really loved about this show. If you follow independent wrestling in South Carolina, about a little over a month ago, there was a show, Palmetto Championship Wrestling in Columbia, and Bob Keller revealed himself as the manager, the leader of the E&D, after being opposed to them for years, revealed himself as the manager, and that storyline was addressed in OSCW last night in the pre-show. Bob Keller said, hey, this is, he wore the E&D shirt, said, this is who I am. I don't care if you like it. And I would love to see more of that. I would love to see more just cooperation where, you know, if a dude is a baby in one place, that he's a baby everywhere. And I know, you know, some promotions have different needs than others, but I would just love to see that. Bob Keller, this is the first time I've ever met him, super nice guy. First time I've ever seen him work as a manager. First time I've ever seen one of his shows. Tremendous. Tremendous all the way around. So Bob has a podcast network, Wrestle Force Radio Network. Let's give them a plug. He's got a podcast with Brett Wolverton, who's a great ring announcer here in South Carolina. He's got a podcast called Preaching the Truth with John Schuyler, which I've been listening to. John Schuyler, you know, talks a lot about life on the road and things going on in his career. They had a really good interview recently with one of the founders of Resistance Pro Wrestling Chicago. Talked a little bit about Billy Corgan's involvement. Very insightful. But Bob just started his own podcast, Open Mic with Bob Keller. They talk a little bit about wrestling, but his first episode, he talked with Boomer Payne of the Sons of Steel. And Boomer Payne talked about what I call a snub from the Carolina Professional Wrestling Awards. Boomer Payne and Bryce Anthony, the Sons of Steel, they got a nomination for Mark and I. They were the only tag team Mark and I nominated for Tag Team of the Year, and Mark and I are going to talk about that on Thursday. A whole episode is going to be dedicated to that. And Boomer shared his thoughts and really his disappointment. Can't blame him. Talked to Boomer about that. And absolute, man, Sun still had a great year. But anyway, I say all that. And it was a tremendous elimination match. Logan Creed, I've seen him wrestle in Georgia. Why is this guy not getting booked in South Carolina? Why is this guy not signed? Huge guy. Huge guy. And I posted a video on my personal Facebook. Dude did an over-the-top rope dive on everybody. Absolutely amazing athleticism. Drew Adler, if you listen to the episode Redbeard, Drew Adler was somebody he really touted and was one of our finalists for Rising Star of the Year. Drew Adler... I actually leaned over to Justin Donahue as Drew Adler came out, and we saw this young man. And I said, Justin, one day, you and I are going to say, you remember that time we saw Drew Adler in Hanahan, South Carolina? This kid is money. Everybody in South Carolina will book him. Great look, good in the ring, improving in the ring. And they booked him great last night. The whole show was booked great. But this match did what it needed to do. It established the E&D as just a dominant faction, but it kept the Bullets looking great. It kept Creed and Adler looking good, but it did everything it needed to do. Nobody left. It was great. Next match was Rob Killjoy and Zach Edwards, who's the other half of the Beautiful Bald Besties. In this match, they tried to do the switcheroo again. Didn't work. Killjoy gets the win by DQ. And on his way out, cuts a promo that next time he's not coming alone, setting up what would be a great match, the Ugly Ducklings versus the Beautiful Bald Besties. Next match was the number one contenders match. B.J. Hancock, again with Bob Keller. Again, just, I mean, we've talked about it on our show before. I first saw B.J. Hancock. He was a heavyweight champion down in Anarchy in Georgia. And this guy is just good. B.J. Hancock, in my mind, is so good, you take him for granted. That's just how I feel about it. And I'll tell you how I feel about B.J. Hancock. When Mike Worsham and I were getting started with Golden Corner Wrestling, from day one, B.J. was going to be the guy. And he's tremendous, man. Just a quality heel. Him and Bob made a great team. Taking on Scotty Matthews, winner is the number one contender. Again, classic old school booking, heel booking. And BJ's number one contender setting up a title match, which I'll talk about that in a second. Next match, former WWE stars Kevin Thorne and Gangrel, who looked tremendous. Like, they are huge. They were taking on AR Fox and Austin Theory. And the fans just wanted to cheer for both teams. And you had the size and strength of Gangrel and Thorne versus just the athleticism, pure athleticism of AR Fox, Austin Theory. Again, two guys, Gangrel and Thorne, you see them and you know why they were in WWE. You see AR Fox and Austin Theory and you know they're going to get a shot at WWE. I've seen AR Fox live before. First time seeing Austin Theory. And from what they said last night, he's worked some 205 live. But just a great match, man. Just logical booking again. And AR Fox blamed Austin Theory for the loss, gave him a kick to the chin for his troubles after the match. But the crowd was hot all night. And then the main event was Tracer X versus Francisco Ciazzo, who had Stormy Lee, the ladies champion, in his corner. Also his wife. So here's the thing about this match. Good match. Total contrast in styles. Because you got Tracer X, who's a high flyer. Francisco, old school brawling heel. And even made mention of that. He hit a move on Tracer early in the match, and he said, that's what heavyweights do. So I was super interested in this match and talked with a few people and just super interested in how they were going to do this. And they did it to perfection. And I would prefer the very first Parade of Champions. Go back and watch Kerry, Von Erich, and Ric Flair. And I think that's the last time a world title match ended in a backslide. And when you hear that, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. It made perfect sense last night. Perfect sense. And set up, Scotty Matthews kind of comes in, sets up a match with him and Francisco. There are only two. So let me talk about the crowd. Crowd was great. A completely different crowd than you get at any. This was a totally different crowd than anything I had seen in any other shows. This was a crowd that had a good mix. Older folks, younger kids, millennials. But they have a lot of fans who are up to date with the current product. A lot of shows in the upstate, it's just people, oh, there's wrestling, we're going. They don't watch wrestling today on TV. They just know they like wrestling. And so it was a completely different crowd. It had the chant, I would call it, for lack of a better term, a smart crowd. You know, they did the chants and things like that you really don't get at a lot of shows, especially here in the upstate, because it's a different crowd. Nothing wrong with either one of them. It's just different strokes for different folks. But a great crowd. They were hot all night. They were engaged all night. So that was great. So at the end, there was only two negative things I have to say about this experience. Only two. This was we left at 12:45, right after church. We got back at 12:30. So a 12-hour trip for us. Well worth it. The only two things. Number one, and I don't think this is on the wrestling side of things, but Hanahan Rec Center, whoever's doing your snack bar, they need to step up their game. Because I don't know if they just weren't prepared, but it was taking a long time to cook chicken fingers and french fries. And so, like, you had to wait in line to order your food. And then when you went to order your food, it was like everybody, it was 20 minutes for your food to be ready. It was almost like they were making it to order. And so we ordered our food, went and sat down. It was like 25 minutes before Drake got his french fries. So again, that's not a criticism on the wrestling at all. That's not even the wrestling people doing that. I'm just saying, maybe they were overwhelmed by the crowd. Maybe they're not used to that size crowd. I don't know. Just saying, if you're going to do snacks, you just got to be on top of things. Or just do the hot dogs. Don't do the fried stuff if it's going to be such an ordeal. Second negative thing is OSCW announced their next show is March 4th. Now, I mentioned many times, South Carolina has an athletic commission. And it's hard sometimes for guys to get their license going into the new year. Now, the commission, if you get your license in November, it's good for December of that year, and then also 2018, the license runs January 1st to December 31st. So a lot of promotions in South Carolina don't run in January. Some have tried, just guys, a lot of times guys don't have license. But it was such a tremendous show. I put that on my calendar. I want to go back in March 4th. Especially the matches, I'm expecting Tracer X defending against BJ Hancock. I've seen those guys have good matches before. The Ugly Ducklings versus Beautiful Ball Bessies. I haven't seen that match. I've tried to see that match. They set up Scotty Matthews and Francisco Ciazzo. John Schuyler putting a challenge out to anybody. Anthony Henry might be back. The continuation of the END, Drew Adler and Logan Creed. I put that date on my calendar and hoping to arrange things to make that trip again. I just wish it weren't so long. And again, I don't, you know, that's not a criticism of, you know, they run when they can run. And I understand, you know, how it is with South Carolina when you can get the building and people's schedules. But that entire card left me wanting more OSCW. And just a tremendous night of professional wrestling. And that's all you could ask for. So I think professional wrestling in South Carolina has a bright future. I think if everybody... I'm hoping as we move into 2018... people continue to work together and be considerate of each other. And my goal in 2018, as part of the Double Dropkick Show, our podcast and our website, is to be the source for South Carolina independent wrestling news. That's my goal. I really think this year I've seen there's just a void. There's nowhere really to find results and find out about a lot of these great guys and find out where you can see the matches. So that's my goal. I've mentioned it many times, man. A lot of us are not watching WWE weekly anymore, but I would watch South Carolina independent wrestling. I believe in a lot of these guys. You can see guys before they make it big. So thanks to OSCW. Great night. Thanks to Drake for riding with me. Thanks to Boomer Payne and SOS Custom Tees, which provided my unbookable shirt, which got a lot of looks. It's the Godfather logo, and this the words the unbookables underneath it. That could be the best faction coming into 2018. Maybe they need a manager. I don't know. Love to see that happen. So it was a great road trip. Would love to hear your thoughts. You can comment. If you're in our Facebook group watching this video live, the wrestling you grew up with, you can comment on this video. This podcast is also on our website, doubledropkick.com. You can leave a comment there. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, you can leave a comment on the YouTube video. But I'm excited, man. Some great shows coming up. Friday, December 8th, Battle Zone's going to be in Lawrence for their big show, Rebirth. And then Saturday, December 9th, it's Arn Anderson coming to Liberty, South Carolina for Three Count Pro Wrestling. You can get tickets to Battle Zone at soscustomtees.com. You can get tickets to the Three Count show, a VIP ticket to meet Arn Anderson and get a ringside seat. You get a signed poster, a picture with Arn. You also get autographs from some other Three Count stars there. Only $35, and you can pick them up at threecountpro.com/store. I think after that, APW Chester has maybe two more shows this year. PCW's got a big end of the year show that I'm hoping to make. So a few more shows here as we close out 2017, and I'm expecting big things in 2018. A lot of things changing. One of the most consistent promotions, of the last decade here in South Carolina, CWA, probably not going to be around anymore. That's always just a sad thing. They had a tremendous, by far the best set production style. I mean, it's a pity a lot of their stuff is not available online. Great production value, drew a great crowd, and so it's just a shame they're not going to be around. So once again, you can follow me on Twitter at Heath Mulliken. You can follow Mark at the DDK Show. DoubleDropKick.com is where you can find everything. And then Mark and I are going to be back recording Thursday. Again, we're talking Sons of Steel, why they were our tag team of the year here in the Carolinas. We're also talking a fantasy tournament. We're starting our second annual Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament. And talking movies. I don't know if Mark's seen Thor or Justice League, but we're going to be talking that and talking about getting ready for The Last Jedi, which is less than 2 weeks away. So I'm so excited. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next time.